want just to say to the young folk, those who are upstairs with me and any who are here who are younger than that, do you sometimes wonder, does God answer your prayers? You know he would answer the pastor's prayers or your parents' prayers or somebody else's, but would he listen to you? Would he be concerned with you? So I want to tell you a story which involves a 10-year-old girl in Africa, an African girl, Ruth, and I'd been called out during the night to go to the maternity part of our hospital, and a mother was having her second baby. Sadly, despite everything I did, and this rarely happened, but the mother died, and I was left with a little tiny baby. And the problem to keep tiny babies alive when mum's not there is to keep the baby warm enough. Now, in those days, we didn't have any electricity, let alone an incubator. And so I got one of my student nurses to go out to get the cots we put the babies in, cotton wool to wrap the body up, hot water bottle either side of the baby. They knew what they should do. One midwife came back into the room where I was, and she said, "I'm awfully sorry, doctor. I boiled the kettle. I took the hot water bottle. I was filling the bottle when suddenly, burst hot water bottle." I didn't realize it would bang quite so loud into the machine. Burst hot water bottle. She said, "It's our last hot water bottle." So I said, "All right." Then you put the baby, well wrapped up, as near to the fire in the cot as you safely can, and you sit between the baby and the door so it doesn't get drafts. And you've got to watch the baby all night. When it tries to throw its clothes off, wrap it up again. The baby must be kept warm. If the baby gets cold, it will die. The next day at midday, I went to have prayers with our orphanage children, which I did every day. It wasn't anything different from usual. And the children who wanted would gather around me for prayer time. And I'd give them different things to pray for. And that day, amongst other things, I mentioned this tiny baby. I asked them to pray for the nurses that they would stay awake all night to be sure the baby kept warm. I mentioned in passing the burst hot water bottle. And I asked them to pray for a little 2-year-old sister who was crying because her mummy had died. During prayer time, different girls prayed, and then Ruth prayed in the usual very blunt way of our African children. "Please, God, send us a hot water bottle. Now, God, you have to send it this afternoon, otherwise the baby would be dead." And while I'm sort of gulping, she said, "While you're about it, God, would you send a dolly for the little 2-year-old so she'll know that Jesus really loves her?" Quite honestly, I did not say amen. I just didn't believe it was reasonable. I had never received a parcel up till then, all my 4 years in Congo, in Central Africa. And anyway, if anybody from here sent me a parcel, I did live on the equator. Who would put a hot water bottle in? It didn't really make sense. That afternoon, I was teaching in the nurse's school, and a messenger came over and said, "There's a car outside your house." I went across. Well, the car had actually left, but they left on the veranda of my home a big 22-pound parcel. I glanced at the stamps. I saw the postmark was from London, southeast England. And I felt a lump in my throat. I thought, I can't open this alone. So I sent for the orphanage children. They gathered around me in a great group, and we opened it together. They probably got very irritated with me, because you never cut string in Africa. You might need it tomorrow, so you undo every knot. You never tear paper. You might need it tomorrow, so you unfold every piece. Eventually, we got in. And inside, there were bright knitted jerseys, which they loved, and we handed these jerseys out to them. Then there were knitted bandages for the leprosy patients, and they're probably a bit bored. And then a bar of soap, probably more bored, a nice box of, dried currants and raisins, a nice batch of buns for the weekend. And then I stuck my hand down into the parcel. And from the middle of the parcel, I pulled out the brand new rubber hot water bottle. You know, I cried. I hadn't really believed God could do it. Ruth was in the front line of the children. She rushed forward and said, "If God sent the hot water bottle, he must have sent the dolly." And she dived into the parcel with both hands. And from the bottom of the parcel, she pulled out the dolly. She never did not believe. She looked up at me with bright eyes. "Mummy, can I go over with you and give that dolly to the little girl so she'll know that Jesus really loves her?" Isn't he wonderful? Parents, if you think for a moment, that parcel took 5 months to reach us, coming out from England in July, getting to us just before Christmas. And before that, for a year, a Bible class that I used to teach in southeast London, had been knitting. The bigger girls had knitted the jerseys, the littler girls had knitted the bandages. The Bible class leader, Betty Ponsford, had packed the parcel up. And as she did, she heard God say, "Send a hot water bottle." And I know Betty very well. She probably said, "God, hot water bottle for the equator?" And God impressed upon her, "Send a hot water bottle." So she did, and one of the girls in the class said, "I'd like to send a dolly to an African child." And it came that afternoon because a 10-year-old prayed, believing. Isn't God wonderful? Does he answer prayer? He does indeed. He does indeed. It doesn't matter what age. Particularly when, as then, the prayer was not something for yourself. It was something for somebody else. God bless you.